are in the middle of a series, right smack dab in the middle of a series we are calling All In. So if you're just joining us for the first time, you've come at the perfect time. Some wise guy sent me a meme last week on Groundhog Day. He said, if the pastor sees his shadow, we're going to get six more weeks of this sermon series. Listen, I just saw a little bit of my shadow, so we've only got 4 weeks of this sermon series left. 4 weeks, because it is going to culminate on February 27th. It is a date that I've already told you that I've got circled on my calendar, and I hope you will too. It's going to be a significant, a monumental day for us as a church that I think is just really going to be special. We're already planning that service and special elements and an opportunity for us at the end of this series, after we've talked about what it is that we are committed to having an opportunity to come together and to be all in together. February 27th is also the 40th day of our 40 days of prayer. This series of All In, it's really just been a time for the church to come together and go, okay, we're going to get intentional. We're going to get on our knees, and we're just going to pray as we discern the call of God on our lives, specifically the call of our lives together. And that's really what All In has been and will be all about. If you're new to Oak Hills Church, you may not know this part of it, but on February 26th, the Oak Hills Church will have zero members. Now, when I became lead minister, many of you said this was going to happen. So we're just speeding up the process. Now, we're not deleting anything in our database. We're not deleting the important information like children's check-in, background checks, that sort of thing. In fact, if you've been a member at Oak Hills Church since 1972, it's still going to say that you've been a member since 1972, not 2022. So it's not that kind of reset. But we are resetting for a few important reasons. Number one, your shepherds, elders, we want to be able to shepherd this flock, and we want to do it well. Well, we've been given a responsibility, and we love the story that Jesus told when the good shepherd leaves the 99 sheep and he goes and finds the one. But that good shepherd, he knew his sheep, he knew where they were, he knew what was going on with them. And so that's one of the reasons why we're doing this. The second reason is we want to be unified in mission. We want to come together as a church and go, okay, well, what is it that we are committed to? What is our mission? We are disciples who make disciples, but what does it look like for us to be unified together? We know that we're stronger as Jesus is building up his church, and he's building us up together in that. And here's another reason. The reason that we're doing this is because, well, we want to know what it means to be a part of a church family, a member of a church family. That can mean a lot of different things to a lot of different people, but we wanted to reimagine what it means to be a member of a church family, and we wanted to mean something. We believe that it means something significant. So we wanted to take 40 days to prayerfully consider this decision of what we come all in together for. Now, as we're walking through this together, this series, it's not really so much about what we believe, although that's really important. It's not so much about what we do, although that's really important too. This series really has been more about who we are and what it is that we're committed to. And so last week we started talking about, since our mission is disciples who make disciples, our commitments are discipleship commitments. Now, we started with the first one last week, and does anybody remember what this one was? Oh, you guys are paying attention. All right. Celebrate. I guess I could turn it around for you, right? Celebrate, specifically, celebrate God. Celebrate God through weekly worship together. Today, we're going to move on to our second discipleship commitment, and it's really foundational, fundamental, not only to this discipleship commitment, but all four of them. It's really fundamental to the Christian life. Anyone want to guess what it is? Nope, you're all wrong. We're going to get there, though. Abide. Abide in Christ through daily spiritual practices. Abide in Christ through daily spiritual practices. Turn to your neighbor and say, abide in Christ through daily spiritual practices. Your neighbor is wise. You have a wise neighbor because this is so fundamental. Now, this word abide, it's not a word that we use a lot, okay? But Jesus did, and it was an important word to him. And so we're going to talk about what that means, abide. And to do that, we're going to go and we're going to look at his words in John chapter 15. If you have your Bibles, please turn to John chapter 15. This is one of those places that if you are one that takes notes in your Bible or you underline or you circle, this might be one of those that you want to highlight, because I'm telling you, it's just fundamental. It's just foundational to growing in Christ, okay? When we get to the highlighted part, will you say the highlighted word with me? Those of you who are worshiping online with us, play along. All right, here we go. Ready? John 15, we're going to start in verse 5. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you in me and my words in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. Now, in your Bible, maybe it says remain, maybe it says abide, but the idea is the same. There are two different ways that we can, spiritually speaking, we have two different options. This passage says we can either produce spiritual fruit in our lives or we can wither. Now, the determining factor for whether we produce spiritual fruit or whether we wither, it's not where we were born. It's not who our parents were. It's not how resourceful we are. It's not how good we are or how good we are to others. No, the determining factor in our lives, spiritually speaking, whether we produce and flourish and produce spiritual fruit or we wither, is whether or not we are connected, whether or not we abide, whether or not we remain in Him. This is why. This is why we're so passionate about this. This is why out of all the discipleship commitments that we could think of, this one was so fundamental. It's like, okay, as a church, as we come together, if we are going to be the church, the bride of Christ, on mission together, we'd better be a people who abide in Christ through daily spiritual practices. Now, there are a lot of different spiritual practices, and there are a lot of different ways that we can abide in Christ. But what we're going to do today is we're going to look at two. We're going to kind of zero in on two, simply because they're the two that Jesus zeroed in on in this passage. Here's the first one. Abide in Christ through His Word. Abide in Christ through His Word. Now, remain in me, abide in me. It's the same idea, but it almost carries this idea of come live in me, come rest in me, come make your home in me. It's almost as if he's saying, remember in John 15 what he says. He says, if I abide in you and my word, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, if my words abide in you. It's almost like he's saying, if my words find a home in you, if my words find a listening ear, a receptive heart, a welcoming host saying, come words of life, come, I've got room right here. Come on, come make your home right here. This is where you belong. Make your words at home right here. That is the person who the words abide in them. Jesus, the master storyteller, It's so brilliant in John 15 because everyone gets the picture, right? Like, none of us would walk down the sidewalk and see a disconnected branch on the sidewalk and pick it up and go, well, this is odd. It doesn't have any fruit on it. Like, I don't understand what's going on here. No, they knew, we know that the point is to be connected. And one of the ways that we connect, one of the ways that we abide in Christ is through the Word, to delight in it on a daily basis. It reminds me of the psalmist in Psalm chapter 1. But their delight, don't you just love that word? Delight, joy, delight. Their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit. There it is again, yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. In all that they do, they prosper. This idea, prospering, yielding fruit, glorifying God, being a disciple of Jesus, all of these things are tied back to abiding in Christ. And this is why we're so passionate about it. In 2 Timothy, this is the Apostle Paul, New Testament, says something very similar. All scripture is inspired by God and useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to do every good work. So what is he telling us? He's telling us that part of what happens when we abide in Christ through daily spiritual practices, when we abide in Christ through his word, is that we're actually learning what is right. We're being shown what is right. And we're being corrected when we're wrong. Leisha has told me for a long time that I missed my calling as a race car driver. I'm pretty sure she means it as a compliment. That's the way I take it anyway. She says, you ride the line, you know, too much. Which one? Both of them. She says, you follow too close. Now, for years, I have passionately disagreed with her about my driving skills. Until I got this truck with this new feature. When you start to ride the line, when you start to follow too close, it lets you know. There's an alert that it seems like the whole truck is just kind of flashing red. It goes, and the seat, I've never had anything like that. The seat actually vibrates, and if you're going into someone's lane, it will gently course correct you back into the lane. That thing goes off all the time. With her sitting right beside me going, I told her, I got to take this truck into the shop because something's wrong with these sensors. This thing is not working. But I got to thinking, what if we had something like that in life? I don't know, maybe it's an app or something on our phone. Maybe something that, you know, we're about to go the wrong direction in life, or we're about to make a mistake that we're really gonna pay for later on down the road. And maybe we've got an app downloaded in the phone, just and you look down, you get a little notification, you know, like, hey, don't do that. That's dumb. I mean, let's be honest, how many of us could have benefited from that, you know, in years past? Amen. Yeah, all right. So we got one honest person in the whole house. But I got to thinking, you know, what if we had an app, you know, that would do this? I mean, what if you're on a dating app and you're about to swipe right on that good-looking guy and you look down and it says, not husband material. No, forget that. This is a Christian app. It says unequally yoked. Much better, much better. Or what about this? Listen, let's just say, you know, you're in a fight with somebody, you're in an argument with somebody, and you're kind of winning this argument, right? Like you're pretty sure you're right. And all of a sudden, you look down and it goes, swallow your pride. That wouldn't be fun, would it? Or what if you're about to, deceive someone for financial gain? You look down and it goes, liars go to... Okay, so you guys, you get the point. Here's the thing. We don't have an app like that, but I am convinced that even if we did, we would turn off the notifications. How do I know? Because it's what we do with the voice of the Holy Spirit as he speaks to us through his word. You see, we believe in Scripture and we want the authority of Scripture on our lives until it starts to course correct us. We believe. We believe that we should be faithful to our spouse until someone else starts showing some interest. We believe that we should give generously until it starts to seem like, you know what, that's a lot of money and there are other things that we believe. That we shouldn't get drunk, but then that pain comes. We believe until it's just not convenient to believe that. And then culture and society sometimes is more than happy to replace that belief with another belief, maybe a little more convenient. But the question is, what do we do when that happens? Here's another way to say it. What will you do when Scripture challenges you? If you read Scripture long enough, let's say it this way. If you're reading Scripture and it never challenges you, friend, you have turned off the notifications. Because at some point, you're going to be reading Scripture and the Holy Spirit is going to say something to you and you're going to be like, oh, I wish you hadn't said that. I wish you hadn't said it that way. That really just does not work for me right now. You see, that doesn't match up with my lifestyle. It doesn't match up with my political party's stance on the matter. It just doesn't match up with what is working for me right now. And the question is, because that's going to happen to every single one of us who avail ourselves to abide in Christ through his word, what are we going to do? What are we going to do in that moment? Are we going to look at Scripture and are we going to say, well, that's not really what it means to me. You know, maybe that's what it meant then, but maybe this is what it means now. What will you do when Scripture challenges you? Because at some point the Holy Spirit, because he is good, he is going to just gently say, come on. Let's just ease back over. Let's just kind of get things straight. This is what is good for you. I am good. What I have for you is good. Or are we going to override the system? Scripture corrects us, lovingly corrects us, shows us what's right. That's not the only thing that Scripture does. In fact, might say it like this. Abiding in his word doesn't just protect us from ourselves, it frees us to be ourselves. I meet with so many people who say, I just want to find myself. I just want to figure out who my true self is. Listen, if you want to find your true self, then 2 Timothy tells us Scripture is the place to go. Why? Because it is preparing us and equipping us for good works. Now, there are all kinds of different fruit trees. They produce different fruit, obviously, but we are the same way. Why? Because the Holy Spirit has gifted us in unique ways. Okay, so some of you, when you abide in Christ in his word or through daily spiritual practices, you flourish. And when you flourish, you become an encourager because that's the spiritual gift that you've been given. For some of you, when you flourish, you teach. And some of you, when you flourish, you give wisdom and discernment to people. For some of you, it's the gift of hospitality. But you know it's your gift because the more you abide, the more you're like that tree planted by the streams of water, then the more you thrive and the more you flourish and the more the spiritual fruit just starts to come out. And guess who gets to taste it? Everyone around you, your family, the people where you live, work, learn, and play. The more you abide, the more they get more of what God put in you, the way he created you, the way he designed you. Listen, if you want to become yourself, if you want to find your true self, then find it in the Word of God. Now, abiding in Christ, I told you two things. Abiding in Christ in his Word, and here's the second. Abiding Christ through prayer. Abide in Christ through prayer. In John 15, he says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then what can happen? You can ask whatever you wish and it will be done. Now, I've given a lot of thought to that whatever. I mean, that's a big promise right there. And some people on one end of the spectrum tend to think that that's kind of like just name it, claim it, genie in a bottle, whatever you desire, whatever you want, you just ask for it and poof, you know, there it is. And then on the other end of that spectrum, some people believe, you know what, God doesn't really work the way that he used to and miracles and all that. We're just going to, you know, our prayer really doesn't make that much difference. Now, between those two, Jesus is saying, if my words abide in you, then you're going to have the words to pray to me and to ask whatever you wish. You're going to be more prepared. You're going to be more equipped to ask whatever you wish. You're going to be more prepared and equipped to pray bold prayers, thoughtful prayers, dangerous prayers, prayers for the miraculous, because our God is still at work. And Jesus is he's encouraging them. I want you to pray with me. And pray to me, and I want you to bring your request. Paul, he said it like this. Do not worry. Some versions say don't be anxious or be anxious for nothing. Do not worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. We are told to abide in Christ through prayer. And when our prayer life is occasional or even seldom, how much power in our lives are we leaving behind? When I was writing this message, I happened to notice, I was sitting at a desk, and I happened to notice the phone right beside me. It was about to die. My phone was about to die, which is really kind of weird because I always charge my phone the same way every night. Plug it in, I wake up the next morning, and it's fully charged, and it usually gets me through the day. So this was kind of weird. And, you know, it kind of got me to thinking, I'm not really sure what happened, but my kids, like, they would never allow that to happen. I mean, this is serious business, keeping your phone charged. I mean, those guys, they have the same charging station, the same dock. They plug it in at the same time every night, same place. But on top of that, see, plan A is not enough for them. They've got plan B. They carry portable chargers with them, okay? All right? Now, listen, this is not just for like kids. Like, you go to the airport, look at all the adults. They're like huddling around the charging port, right? Because, listen, but especially for kids, I mean, nobody wants to be in the middle of that TikTok dance that, you know, this time it's going viral and you do not want that power to go out on your phone. So they've got plan A, plan B, plan Z to power their phone. And I was sitting there and I got to thinking, have we as a people become more intentional and created more habits around powering our phones than we have powering our lives? Have we been more intentional? Have we created more habits? Have we created habits around charging our phone. Like, you know what I'm talking about, that habitual behavior that it's like, you just do it the same way every day. You don't even think about it. Did I even do that? Yeah, I guess I did. Didn't even, you know, just like that. Created habits out of that. But then powering our lives, it's occasional or it's seldom. You want to know why my phone died or almost died? I did plug it in that night, but my kids had borrowed my charger and they didn't plug it in on the other end behind the nightstand. Yeah. See, here's the thing. We're not the source of power. We do not provide the power. But if you want to access it, then you're going to have to plug in. So here's a question. You guys ready for another question? Here it is. Are you plugged into the power? Now, I don't mean to insult anyone. I mean, some of you have been following Jesus faithfully longer than I've been alive. My point is not to insult you. Like when you call customer service and they're like, you know, is it plugged in? You're like, do you really think I would have called you and not checked that? Okay. But are you plugged into the power? When you look at your daily spiritual practices, are you plugged in? Because we don't provide the power. But if we want to access it, we have to be plugged in. Over 25 years of ministry, in my experience, okay, when someone's struggling or their family's struggling and I ask them, have you been prioritizing abiding in Christ through daily spiritual practices? More times than not, the answer is no. Now, I'm not saying that just because you abide in Christ doesn't mean you're not going to struggle. You'll still struggle. But I'm just telling you that more times than not, that is the case. Is it daily? Is it occasional? Is it seldom? Okay, I got to tell you a story that happened just this morning. We're back in the green room, getting ready, praying, kind of talking through the service and everything. And I'm starting to notice that there's a lot of commotion, you know, more commotion than typically have, and more people in the room. And I kind of notice it's starting to kind of hover around this lamp in the kind of in the middle of the room. And then all of a sudden, I start noticing that like our highly skilled plant manager, technician on staff is now paying attention to something in the room. So that gets my attention. I'm like, what is going on? Well, come to find out, he came in because this lamp, it was not working. And so he brought, and they called him in. Okay. So this lamp's not working. And Chris, you know, Cheskini, he's awesome. So he comes in with another bulb. They put in another bulb and it's just not working. You guys know where this is going, right? This is so good. They were so embarrassed they didn't want to tell me. They had not plugged it in. All morning this morning, they're like, I don't know what's going on with this lamp. We need to, you know, and sometimes I wonder if that's like us. Like we're hovered around it and we're going, you know what? I don't know. Maybe we could change that. Maybe we just need a new bulb. I don't know. We think about everything and all the time. It's not even plugged in. Are we plugged in on a daily basis, not just occasional, not just seldom, but are we plugged in on a daily basis? Listen, if that's you, friend, right now, if you're saying, you know what, I'm tired, I'm worn out, I'm exhausted, and if your spiritual practices are occasional or seldom, please hear the words of Jesus. Just one more time, let's go back to the words of Jesus. I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit. Because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. Okay, let's take a moment just to get real practical about this. What might be some next possible next steps? And I say possible because I don't know what your next step in this discipleship commitment might be. The Holy Spirit knows and He will guide you to it. But I'm going to give you just a few quick suggestions. Number one, choose a spiritual practice and make it simple, easy, and attractive. I call it the C method. Okay, I just made that up. But it does spell C, so that might actually help you remember this. But choose a spiritual practice. There are a lot of different spiritual practices we've talked about too today, being in the Word and prayer. But choose one, and then create a daily habit out of it. Now, we don't have time to go into the science of habit and how you make good habits and break bad habits, and although I could geek out about that. Why? Because honestly, that's where life change takes place, right? Like, we way overestimate the occasional big things that we do, and we way underestimate the small little things that we do every day. So here's an example. There was a point in my life I was dissatisfied with the intentionality that I was giving to abiding in Christ. And so for me, what I decided to do, I knew that I needed to make it simple. And so I didn't start with a 5-hour time of abiding together every day. I didn't even start with 50 minutes. And I hate to disappoint you, but I just said, okay, 5 minutes every morning, I am going to abide in Christ. And I know what you're thinking, Pastor, that's terrible. Come on, you can do more. But this is the thing. If we make it too big, it doesn't become daily. So I made it simple. This is early in the morning for me. And by the way, I get up, I do the same thing just pretty much every morning. I'm just a creature of habit, and to some extent we all are. But what I do is I get up in the morning, and then I'll get a cup of coffee, and then I go sit in the same place. And I don't really like to think so much in the morning. You know, it's just, I'm kind of still waking up. So what I decided to do, I found an app. It's called the Abide app. And so I downloaded it, and I hit play, and it reads scripture to me. It gives me a little devotional thought. It has some little, like, music playing in the background. The point's not the Abide app. There are a lot of different apps that you could use, like YouVersion. There are a lot of great devotionals. I mean, goodness, the 365-day devotionals that Max has done, I open those up. It could be, you know, paper in your hand. It doesn't have to be electronic. But the point is something simple that you can do in that moment. It's got to be easy. So simple and easy. The other thing, make it attractive. If you're really serious about creating a habit, you're going to have to make it attractive. If you don't enjoy it, or if you don't bundle it with something else that you enjoy, you're probably not likely to stick with it. So here's what I know about me. I go and I like coffee. I'm a coffee drinker. Maybe you don't, but I make the coffee and I get the coffee and I go to sit in the same place every time. So I already knew I was already doing that. That was already habitual behavior. Every morning, kind of the same thing. So what did I do? I bundled this activity to that. So I go and I sit in the same place and I hit play. Simple, easy, and attractive. Now, that's just kind of skimming the surface there. But choose a spiritual practice and make it daily. Why simple, easy, and attractive? Because we want it to be daily, because those are the things that are really going to make a difference in your life. Number two, access spiritual practices in your OHC app. I really hope that you have downloaded the app. Guys, we're putting a lot of eggs in this basket because this is where we're putting like these discipleship commitments, our study tools. We've even got curated like worship music that you can listen to that kind of goes with the sermon series. And so that's where we're going to continue to put resources for you in that app to be able to find out, you know, the things that are going on around here. And again, there are other apps and other things that you can use, but specifically here at OHC, this app is like gold in your pocket or in your purse. Number three, and consider enrolling in a core class. We have two core classes right now. One is going to be starting pretty soon. It's called Moment by Moment. You know what it is? It's an introduction to spiritual practices. It's a 6-week long course. We've just skimmed the surface, so this is an opportunity for us to go a little bit deeper and to talk about what abiding in Christ through daily spiritual practices looks like. So that might be something that you want to consider. We have another core class. It's called How to Study the Bible. So maybe today you're thinking, well, I've tried that reading the Bible thing and it didn't make any sense to me, or I didn't know this might be an opportunity for you to know how to approach Scripture and how to read it. And maybe right now your next step is just, I need a place to start. So I don't know what your next step is, but I know that you have a next step. I know that we all have a next step. Why? Because we're all still growing. Because we are all still following Jesus. You might even say moment by moment. And so we point back to Jesus. He was clear. He was so clear. And he was clear with his invitation. He said, I want you to come and rest. I want you to come. I'm inviting you to come and make your home in me. Come live in me. Let my words abide in you. The invitation was clear. The only question is, will we receive that invitation? Jesus gave, he went all in because he gave all that he had to give. He gave his life so that you and I could have life. Not just eternal life, but life right now in the here and now. So we want to build our lives on Jesus. He is building his church. And he is building us up together. On the cornerstone of Jesus, we are being built up together. So it makes sense that we would want to build our lives on Jesus. I want to invite us right now. I'm going to pray for us and then we're going to worship together. Father, forgive us for the times where we've tried to build our lives on sinking sand. Place us, place our feet on the solid rock of Christ so that when the storms come, we'll be on solid ground. And these lives that we're building together, it will stand. We thank you for your promise that you are the one building this church. Father, we do not build on a pastor. We do not build on any person. We do not build on any plan. Jesus alone is our cornerstone. And we thank you for him and the sacrifice that he made on our behalf. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.